Our end goal is we're going to talk about pornography, sexual addiction, a variety of really specific things. That's our end goal. As you can tell, in my understanding of all this, that is not the foundation. That is not where you start to change, to be the people we're supposed to be. You start somewhere else. We could talk a long, long time. We could do a week conference and lay a great foundation and finally get to that stuff. I'm going to talk a little bit now more about identity, and I'm going to go through it pretty quickly. But there's a lot of things you can connect with on this, and understand this, guys. Here's one of the things we've got to get. We have really, really, really got to change how we engage with all this. If you want your life to be in a different place, you are going to have to set your heart to pursue it, and not just in this area, in every area of following God. The world is going crazy. More and more people are finding something they're locking their hope into, whatever it might be, and people are going to get more and more attached to whatever their source of hope is. If you are here as a Christian, I just want to challenge you. You have got to reset your life, and you've got to go, this is my thing. For the next 20 years of my life, this is what I'm locking into. This is what I'm doing. And maybe right now, I just want to throw out some of you guys who are part of this church. You know about the conference they're doing called Faith Walkers. And I want to challenge you there. If you want to follow God, then what you have to do is say in your heart, every choice I get, this is what I'm going to immerse my life in. Every chance I get to have this wash over me, to have this renew me, to have this reset me, this is my thing. And the reason we do those conferences is because we have never found any other thing that can touch a life as deeply as getting away for several days away from distractions. Get people away for 2 or 3 days. Let them just be washed with stuff out of the Bible, connected in fellowship, away from their normal stuff, and something happens that can't happen in years of going to church. So that's why we do it. It's an incredible amount of work. It costs people money. There's a whole bunch of downsides to it, but there's some things you can only get that way. And so if this is your thing, then you need to either be doing that or something else, but you got to go, this is my thing. I'm after it. I'm going. I'm doing it. This is my hope, connecting with God and knowing God and following God. I am not dabbling with this. I'm not playing with this. This is my deal. I am a steely-eyed missile man, and I'm doing this. Joshua said, which we'll get to, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay. So what's the source of our strength? Honestly, men, I believe we have two. One is a clear and unwavering faith regarding our identity that the Bible reveals to us in Christ. And then the second thing is understanding and accepting the masculine identity God has created to be expressed in men. And those are two different things. And we're going to talk about both of them here in the next, before lunch. So our identity, God is our Father. 1 John 3. How great the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And I don't know where you're at in thinking or meditating or owning this. This is continuing to transform my own life. You are here because somebody wants you. You are here because you were made by somebody who made you. You are a man because God wanted you a man. You have all the character qualities you have. You know what? I work with Pat Sokol. How many of you guys know Pat Sokol? Okay. So he played football in college. He's this great big guy. He's everything a man should be. You know, when I stand beside him, I'm this little scrawny guy, and I can't hardly dribble a basketball. And we're like Mutt and Jeff. And Pat can talk about manhood, and everybody, you know, can go, well, the guy probably really knows about manhood because he is that. When I talk about manhood, people go, well, have you ever known much about that? And some of us feel that way, right? We feel like, listen, that is not my subject. And I want to reset you. Who knows what Jesus looked like? We're told that he was a man that was, there was nothing in his appearance that made us look at him. He could be sitting in this room, and if he didn't open his mouth, we'd just all go, oh, there's another guy. Nothing impressive. Now, if he opened his mouth, I think we'd all turn and go, whoa. Because when he spoke, you heard something you never heard before. But I am guessing he didn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or whoever else. God made you to be a son of his. He made you to be strong. And in my life, there are places God made for me to express strength, and he is incredibly glorified when I play the man, when I step into those things and go, I will be the man God's called me to be because I am his son. You know, the only person that ever wanted you was God. Your mom and dad may have wanted a child. They may not have wanted a child. Who knows? Some of us just showed up and we were sort of a surprise. But one thing we know is your parents didn't get to choose you. They didn't get to choose you. They just got you. But God says, I wanted you. I wanted your personality. I wanted everything about you except your sin. Everything about you except your sin. God said, that is exactly what I wanted. I am your father, and I wanted you. Do you believe that? You are a child of God. A lot of verses, of course, say you are a son of God. He made you to walk in this world with him. You are to walk in this world with your father. He is with you. He believes in you. He wants you. He owns you. And every one of us can struggle at times with feeling alone. And one of the things that is the message of the Bible is you are never alone. You have a father and you are headed right for his presence. You are going to see him face to face and it'll be the first time. And now you get to honor him and glorify him because you get to walk with him before you've seen him. Imagine the angels, and you take some little act of faith, some little choice you make, and you honor God. And all the angels are going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you see what the guy just did? He made a choice that cost him. It was a loss, and he did it because he believes in God, and he's never even seen him. And the angels are looking at God going, and they go, he is so amazing. And as soon as everybody sees him, of course, everybody's going to obey him, and everybody's going to follow him. But that guy just honored God, and he's never seen him. Whoa. That act was glorious because he honored God, and he's never seen him. You can bring your father great glory because you can honor your father in faith. No angel can act in faith. And when you get to heaven, you will never act in faith again. But now you can walk with your father and honor your father in faith. He loves you. Just like we need to grow and understand that love is an expression of masculinity, let me tell you what, your father loves you. And he cares for you, and he's with you. And though fathers sometimes ask great things of their sons, like God asked of Jesus, and he can ask great things of you, he is with you. He is with you. He is your father, and he will never, ever, ever forsake you. You will always belong to him. You always belong. You have a father, and you are his son, and your purpose in life is to be about your father's business. Let me just go back here again. It says, now we're children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. We know that when we appear, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then John ends this way. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. And I'm telling you what, when you go, hey, I am about, you know, for me, I'm about 20 years away from being exactly like Jesus. And I really stick that in my head. I go, well, why do I want to be involved in this garbage then? Because, man, I am just about there. I am just about there. And I have that hope. And I purify myself. I love this verse, Romans 8:29. For those whom God foreknew, he also predicted, he also predestined. Why does it say predicted? That's not in the Bible. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. I bet that's a victim of a spell checker there. So he'll be the firstborn of many brethren. Okay. I'm going to stick a big thought in your brain. And I'm not going to give you my theological understanding of this verse. It might be different than some of you guys, but we'll just start after that point. But you are predestined. Now, I don't think your salvation is predestined according to this verse. I don't think that's what this verse teaches. But it does teach us something is predestined. God has predestined it. And what is he predestined? He has predestined that you are going to be conformed to the image of his son. Because God wants this. He wants Jesus standing in a room. And all of the kingdom has come together. And Jesus is standing in this room. And Jesus is surrounded by people. He's surrounded by people all standing with him. And every one of those people belongs in that room. Every one of those people is just like him. They all have been conformed to his image. And there's a point in your life, if you're a Christian, where you said, God, I want to follow you. And I want to belong to you. And yet you look at your life and go, man, I can't do any more than that. I can't bring any more than that. And God says, you don't need to bring any more than that. I have predestined the entire universe to take every single person that gives their heart to me and to make sure that the outcome of all of it is they are conformed completely and fully to my image. You cannot be stopped. I don't know how you feel about your life right now, but God has already decided, it's already predestined, you will be just like him. And I want you to imagine this. You're standing in a room and there's this amazing, incredible, you know, like awesome person standing in the middle of the room. That's Jesus. And you look around, and there's all kinds of other amazing people standing around him. And there are all these people that belong to him. And then somehow you drop something and you look down and you realize, I'm just the same way. I'm just the same way. I belong in this room. I belong in this room. That, if you know Christ, nothing can stop that. You will be there. You will stand in that room and you will belong. He is the firstborn of many brethren and you are one of them. When you think about that and you think about the things that we can get our lives engaged with that cause shame, you look at those things, you go, whoa, 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 whoa. Why do I want to engage with that? God, get me away from that. Because I understand that where I'm headed is I'm going to be in that room. I'm going to belong. This is none of my life. I don't have any part of this. This is not me. That's what God wants us to see. Because what the devil says, oh, this is you. This is you. This is you. Look at how much you do here. Look at all the stuff you're involved with. This is you. God says, it is absolutely not. I have predestined your outcome. Nothing can change it. You will be conformed to the image of my son. Nothing can stop it. I have decided. You gave me your heart. That's all I needed. That's all you got to bring. I can do the rest. You will be conformed to the image of my son. That is true. Do you believe it? You can't stop it. You're going to be there and you're going to belong in that room. And we're going to look at one another. You and I are going to look at one another. Maybe we'll remember this moment. We're going to go, oh, we're here. And we belong here. We are sons of God. Every man was created to walk in relationship with his Father. Our strength is grounded in following our Father. Do you know this? We get so much other stuff. We watch all these TV programs. We go to all these movies. We get all this information. And none of it leads us to this truth. But this is your rock, guys. This is your foundation. This is your bottom. This is what's true. And the whole world wants to cover it up and take you away from it. But they can't change it. Who does your heart walk with as Father? for us men, I think for everybody, maybe especially for men, we have such a need to belong to our Father. We have such a need for the blessing of our Father. We have such a need for that. You have it. You walk in the blessing of your Father. But you've got to meditate on that, and it's got to become real to you. And then the other one is that Jesus is our Lord. 1 Peter writes this, act as free men, and don't use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. And that phrase, I think the word is doulos, bond slaves. It's everywhere in the Bible for Christians. You are a bond slave. In Romans 7, it says, listen, you're going to be a slave of something. You need to understand God saved you so you can be a slave of him. You make choices. You go, this is where I belong. This is my commitment. This is where I roll, right here. Paul often wrote this about himself. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And I think, men, we have to understand this. We live in a world where we talk about grace a lot, which, of course, is the foundation of the gospel. That's how we get in standing in that room where we belong. It's by grace. God says, don't worry about it. I got you covered. I want this. I want this. This is my decision, says God. God says, I want you there, and I'm going to get you there, and it's by grace. But in this life, it is also true that you will reap what you sow. In this life, you're going to reap what you sow. And so we need to bond together as men and go, we're going to create a community of men. We're going to create a community of men that have set our hearts that we are going to obey Jesus Christ because we want to reap different fruit. We want to reap different fruit, and we want to honor and glorify God now before we see him. I want to honor him before I see him. I want to show up there with a lot of things where I go, whoa, you know what? I kind of believed this before I saw it, and I believed this, and I acted here, and I did this. And I want to show up where I go, wow, Lord, I am so thankful for the choices you gave me and the grace you gave me to make those choices when I was young, before I got here. Philippians, from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's our verse, Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, if you want your life to change, you can't work on changing your habits. It is not going to work to get in some accountability group. Well, actually, there are things we can change outwardly. And sometimes we can even change these things related to sexual purity by that support of accountability groups. But if you really want your life to change, you have got to change the way you think. You've got to change your identity. Let me tell you something. You will live out your identity. You are going to live out their identity. Everybody does. Everybody does. What is your identity? You want to live an amazing, dynamic life? You have to understand you have an amazing, dynamic identity. But everything around us tells us, no, I'm just this little guy. There's nothing special about me, and I'm always failing. Well, that's what I'm doing, but it's not who I am. Who are you? Do you think God made normal, average, boring people? Every story is meant to be amazing and incredible and astonishing. We're all going to sit around and watch the videos in heaven. It's going to be family movies forever, and they're all going to be good. And one of them is yours. You are created to live an amazing life. It's your identity. Every man was created to serve another. Our strength is bounded by the commitment, by our commitment to the one we serve. And men, we are to bring ourselves under the authority of Jesus Christ. And one of the most powerful pictures of godly manhood is the stereotype, of which there is some truth, to the U.S. Marines. And there's a billboard they have, which I just love. It's a Marine in his dress blues, and he's holding his sword, and his sword comes right up here by his cheek, and he's just standing there by attention. He's just super clear-eyed, and everything in that picture communicates this: strength and power under authority. And that is the power of the picture of the Marines: strength and power under authority. Are you strength and power under the authority of your Lord, serving your Father? That is to be the community of men that we create. We love one another. We're united with one another. We're brought together with one another because we are bringing our strength under the authority together of our Savior. This is not about you. This is about you bringing what you have to another. If you want a world about you, this is not it. You were created to bring your strength to another. And by the way, you will. You, like Bob Dylan said, you are going to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. Who are you going to bring your strength to? I'm going to bring my strength to Jesus Christ. I'm going to bring my strength to Jesus Christ. Who are you going to bring your strength to? Who do you want to stand under? Whose sword are you going to carry? Whose line are you going to march in? Who are you with? I am with Jesus Christ. He's the only good man I know. He's the only good man I know. I will stand with that man in this broken, crazy, screwed up world. I will stand with that man. Where is your heart? Or are you just about yourself? If you're just about yourself, man, you're deceived and you're fooled because you're not about yourself. Your life's still being used by somebody else. Bring your strength to Jesus. God is your Father. He's always with you. You're His. You're His Son. You're His beloved Son. I am God's beloved Son. And I am Jesus' man. I want to die in that man's service. I want to die in that man's service. Is your heart, soul, mind, and strength settled on being a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a great question. Luke 22, it says this, and he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. So that's a really interesting statement. So in the kings, in the Gentiles world, the kings have all the power, but they call themselves the good guys. So they call themselves benefactors, meaning that, you know, I'm the guy that is beneficent to everybody, and I'm the guy that does all these good things, but really they're the guys that everybody serves. So they say they're the good guy, but they take everything. That's the way it works in the world. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. And that's what's so amazing about our leader, about our Savior. Because everybody can quote this value of, oh yeah, we believe in being kind. We believe in serving. Yeah, we believe in being humble. But where's the leader that did it? Jesus says, hey, and I'm actually doing it. I'm living that out. And then he said this, you are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And brothers, that's what he said to his 12. And those guys were a bunch of nobodies. And here's what I get out of that. Jesus said, this is how I call you, not with rules, not with instructions, not with absolutes, do this or do that or commands. He says, I call you relationally. And he said to his disciples, he said, listen, you guys have been with me. You guys have been with me. And I want you with me in the next kingdom. Do you understand? That's his invitation to you. What he calls out of you is loyalty. Will you be loyal to this man? How many of the things that Jesus taught did they get and understand and walk in? Probably very, very few. I mean, these guys were losers. These guys missed most things. What was the only thing that was really, that they could say they did? Jesus, we did not let go of you. We did not let go of you. And Jesus said, you've never let go of me, and you will rule and reign with me. It is a relational thing. Where is your heart? Where is your man's relational heart? Is your man's relational heart with this person? If it is, he will, I believe, in many ways, change your life. But that's what he asked of you, not that you obey rules, not that you, you know, do this, do this, do this, do this. No, he says, listen, are we together? Are you with me? Are you with me? in your heart right now, are you with this man? Do you want to die with this man? Maybe you don't get anything either. I never get any of this. I never get it right. Jesus never, ever chastised them for not getting it right. He will never turn you away. Are you with him? Are you with him? Are you with him? It is that love for him and that understanding of fatherhood that will change your life. It is not that you can obey the rules. Are you with him? Where is your heart? That's what he's after. You know, we sing that song in this church, he is jealous for me. I choke up a lot when I sing that song because I actually listen to that verse. I go, God, you're jealous for me? Don't say that, God. That makes you vulnerable. I mean, if someone was jealous for me, I'd kind of look down on them. Like, you know, you're sort of weak. What's wrong with you? You are jealous for me? You want my attention? You want my love? There's something you want for me? I can actually bring something that makes a difference to you? And the answer to that absolutely is yes. He is jealous for you. Will you listen to that? Will you go, you're jealous for me? You want something for me? Oh, Lord, if you want something for me, you want something for me, you got it. I can't believe it. Why do you want anything from me? But if you want something from me, you got it. Is that your heart? Will you serve this man? Will you serve this man? You are invited. The greatest invitation you'll ever get in your whole life is the invitation to serve this man. I don't know how you voted in the election, but you either probably like the last guy or you like this guy. If whoever you liked invited you to serve him in the White House, would you feel honored? I mean, you're going to have to work for him. You have to serve him. It's like a job. I mean, geez, it's a bunch of work. Who even cares? Who even likes that? But you go, no. I am honored. Jesus Christ has said, I invite you to join me. Let's change this world and change eternity. Do you want to come? Do you want to come? You're asking me? You're asking me? I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I want to come. And that's what I heard 39 years ago. And it's been the greatest invitation I've ever received.